This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a young couple, and they purchased an old, run-down, abandoned farm, and they had plans to turn it into a thriving, organic enterprise. The fields were grown over with weeds, and the farmhouse was falling apart, and the fences were broken down. And the village vicar, that is, a priest of the village, stopped by to bless the family's work and the farm, saying, "May you and God work together to make this farm of your dreams." And a few months later, the priest stops by again to call on the young farmers to check in and see how it's going, and he couldn't believe his eyes. The farmhouse was completely rebuilt and was in excellent condition. There were plenty of cattle and other livestock happily munching on feed in the well-fenced pens. The fields were filled with crops and they were planted in very neat rows. "This is amazing," the vicar said to the young couple. "Look at what God and you have accomplished together." "Yes, vicar," said the farmer's wife. "But remember that what the farm looked like when it was God doing it alone." The kingdom of God is as if, you know, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable will we use for it? And one might have to wonder, A, what the heck is a parable anyway? But also, why won't Jesus just tell them? Tell them what the kingdom of God is like. Because one of the ironic things about this story of the mustard seed, and I don't know about you, but I didn't realize this till much later, but, you know, I kind of envisioned a nice big tree. A mustard seed grows into like a scraggly shrub. And it's annual. So it dies every year and comes back the next. So God, why are you telling this parable, and what exactly are we supposed to glean from it? But you see, the challenge is, up until now, the Hebrew people, they believed that if they followed the rules that the religious leaders and others had decided on, through a process, I'm sure, but they believed that if they followed the rules, that they would then be in a right relationship with God. But Jesus is telling them it's more than just that. It's more than following the rules. It's about planting seeds. It's about tending the soil. It's about creating the right environment for growth. It's about creating the right environment for people to experience the kingdom of God. God plants the kingdom in us, and God plants the kingdom in creation. And sometimes a growth happens so slowly that we can't even see it. And then we may get discouraged. But we have to remember that God's kingdom is happening nonetheless. Maybe this story of the tiny mustard seed is, don't miss unexpected potential and possibilities. How easy would it be to overlook a tiny mustard seed or a scraggly little shrub? So I was thinking about this story and the mustard seed, and then there was a part of me that says, okay, why does it matter? Why does any of this matter? Christine Kane, is an Australian-born, Greek Orthodox turned Christian She is a founder of A21, which is a global nonprofit organization to end human trafficking. She's received the Mother Teresa Memorial Award. And in her book, How Did I Get Here?, she talks about how, in a highly critical, outrage-driven, and I like that term, outrage-driven culture, it is so easy to get cynical, to become disengaged. How hard it is to lead and live with your heart fully into this idea that it matters. Decade after decade after decade. And she says, ultimately, we have to remind ourselves that it does matter, and she shares this story. She says, I remember one of my friends back at Sydney University. So imagine university. She's in her early 20s. She goes, now I had come from an immigrant area of Australia, very low income, government housing, and I went to school. I was the only one that matriculated into university from my school. It wasn't a great school. She said, but I had a friend at the university, and she went to the best schools. She came from great heritage. She was very connected in our city of Sydney. She was a total antithesis of everything that I was in terms of socioeconomic background, in terms of our cultural background. And Christine says, but I was always a bit nervous about speaking to her about my faith, because truly, she said, back then, I remember thinking, what could I possibly have that she would want? She's got it all. She lives in the best part of Sydney. She comes from the best school. She has the best boyfriend. Everything is fine. What could I possibly have? This was Sydney, Australia in 1986 and in 1987. So she reminds us that it was the height of rave parties. And the drug ecstasy was running rampant. And it was strong on the university scene. And people were doing ecstasy and going to these rave parties. And she said she had this friend, and she realized she hadn't seen her friend in 3 days. And she started to wonder, what's going on? And then one day, as she's doing her homework in her dorm room, her friend comes running in and she says, Chris, I can't wait to tell you. She goes, you would not believe, I've just been to the most amazing party. It was incredible. The best experience of my life. There was so much love there. There was so much joy. There was so much peace. We didn't sleep for 3 days. And then her friend puts her hand in her pocket, and she pulls out a half of an ecstasy tablet. And she said, Chris, it was the most unbelievable experience, and I didn't want you to miss it. So I saved you half of this ecstasy tablet because I wanted you to step into this experience. And so Christine remembers in that moment, as tears came down her face and internally her heart started to boil and cry and weep and all of those emotions you might feel. And she said, I made then a vow in my heart, and I said it like this. I said, Lord, she is more passionate about the love and joy and peace that this synthetic drug has brought her than I am about my own faith. My own faith that theoretically is supposed to bring that joy and love and kindness and goodness and all of these fruits of the Spirit. And I thought, that is not fruit of the drug of ecstasy. It's supposed to be the fruit of the Spirit of God. So she says, very early on in her faith journey, she decided Christianity has to be lived from the inside out. It's not just about what laws are out there, or what group I'm a part of, or how militant we might be on social media. It's got to flow from within. And then that, whether someone is a CEO, a doctor, a lawyer, a stay-at-home mother, a nurse, then that, whoever we come in contact with, if they see these things flowing from us from the inside out, then they will be more compelled to say, what is the source of these things? Where does that person find so much joy and peace? So not unlike those first followers who heard this parable of the mustard seed, I think that the challenge, many of the challenges for Christians today, particularly in America, is that for decades we have been able to hide behind the Bible, Holy Scripture, institutions, that you either just need to vote for the right person or say the right things, maybe attend a service every now and then on a Sunday morning, that that's what makes us Christian. But I think we need to ask ourselves, do I really need to be authentically a follower of Jesus to do these things? Or can I do these things without really authentically being a follower of Jesus? People are more comfortable talking about their political ideologies and platforms than about their faith. We know more and feel more confident about what we know about systems of our planet and the way things work than we do about why we are even here today. And so we've got to ask ourselves, and I include myself in these questions, was I just in a cultural system? Right? It's easy to be a Christian when you're sitting among other people who are here on Sunday morning. Or was I truly following Jesus? Was I truly allowing the Holy Spirit to change me from the inside out? My friends, as long as you and I are breathing, we are supposed to be planting seeds. To our human eyes, the beginning of the kingdom of God may seem very, very far away, especially when there is so much muck and yuck in the world, but God is always working. Some of the seeds that we plant, we may get to see sprout, but many of them we will not. So how then do we cultivate, if we want to use an agricultural term, also a very big buzzword today, cultivating. How do we cultivate an environment for growth? How do we cultivate an environment where God's activity, though it may go unseen, still produces fruit? So I'm going to challenge you. Originally, I wrote down, I'm going to challenge you for this week, but I'll give you a little more time. I'm going to challenge you this month. I want you to share with one person why you are a follower of Jesus. Now, preferably, that one person isn't someone who's sitting in here with us right now. I wonder if just the idea of that is a little unsettling and uncomfortable. I'm going to challenge you. It's planting seeds. And we begin to be transformed from the inside out, and people look around and say, what does that person have? I want that so much. We don't need to reach into our pocket and pull out some synthetic drug because it's in here. And it's the truth and the belief that God does exist and that Jesus does matter and that that is where we find true joy and peace and love and kindness. Amen.